Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping at second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I opened up yesterday or last night's show by advising everyone inside that Royals clubhouse to get on the bus and get the heck out of Petco Park. After the two teams played hot potato with the win last night and the Padres insisting that the Royals hang on for a 5-4 win late night on Tuesday, the two teams go back and forth playing ugly baseball, but man, what a sport, huh? What a crazy, crazy game. I said going into the game that it felt like you were showing up to a gunfight with the plan of slapping the enemy. They have Yu Darvish on the hill. They have Xander Bogaerts and Juan Soto and Fernando Tatis, Cronenworth and Ha Song Kim. And the Royals showed up with a bullpen. Now we don't have a starter. And they win the game as, you know, one of the three, four, five largest odds that the Royals have had to win the game. They win it, indeed, 4-3, the final score. They're able to take the series from the San Diego Padres. If you can hear the surprise in my voice, it's authentic. Did anyone see this coming? Royals now 14-31, and could you imagine whoever the man or woman that hosts the Padres post-game show is talking about? We were supposed to get right against the lowly Kansas City Royals. This team lost a series to the Oakland Athletics. We're throwing money around left and right all offseason, bringing in everybody cool in Major League Baseball, giving our manager 14 shortstops and saying, hey, go win the division with the Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Giants. Could you imagine what they're talking about in San Diego as the Royals show up and take 2 of 3? The Royals drop the opener of the series and still win it. The Royals just won a rubber game for the first time all season. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you can't find the words, or if you can't articulate the words, just shoot me a text. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. 7610. Again, 913-586-7610. Royals win 4-3. They have a chance to put together what is called, let me see if I can find it here, a winning streak. A win on Friday against a White Sox team that they've already taken 3 of 4 from. Their one win Friday night was Zach Greinke on the hill. Their one win away from their first winning streak of 2023. How about it? Again, phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. Listen, did the Royals play great baseball today? No. So what? You got 14 wins, man. I'm not asking what labor was like. Just show me the baby. And to me, the baby's a beautiful, big old dub. And the victory, as we expected, if the Royals are going to win any game on this road trip without Brady Singer on the hill, if they're going to win any game away from Kauffman Stadium, it's going to be courtesy of those young and still unproven bats. Big hits today from MJ Melendez, from Vinny Pasquantino, from Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr. showing off the speed. And I understand the pitching is probably the biggest takeaway from today's game. Royals using 7 pitchers, I believe, for the first time all season. Using 7 pitchers, none of them recording more than 8 outs. 7 pitchers to outduel Yu Darvish and the San Diego Padres pitching staff. Again, 913-586-7610. I don't know what from this game, and this might explain the surprise in my voice. I don't know what happened in this game today that you hang your hat on, or that we believe carries into Friday night in Chicago. Well, certainly the young bats. Yeah. MJ Vitti, Bobby Garcia, all with nice afternoons in San Diego. And that's only going to help their confidence. And the more confident they get, the better the offense is. And the better the offense is, the better this team's going to be, because we all know the issues with the pitching staff. But outside of that, okay, Scott Barlow, got to give love to Scott Barlow, tweeted it out just a minute ago. Save number 49 for Barlow in his Royals career that matches Wade Davis for ninth most in franchise history. Barlow now just 9 saves away from cracking the top 5 in Royals franchise history. Doesn't seem right, does it, that he's already matched Wade Davis? They each had 49 saves. Barlow's only had 4 more save opportunities than Wade Davis. Don't sleep on Scott Barlow. This guy's been the best pitcher in this organization for the better part of half a decade now. So congrats to Scott Barlow. A tip of the cap to Taylor Clark, who's tipping his cap to MJ Melendez for playing a solid defense out in right field. Yeah, Carlos Hernandez striking out 4 as he serves as the opener, throwing 2 scoreless frames. But I got to be honest with you, watching Carlos Hernandez start a game, strike out 4, it really just made me sad. It really just made me wish he was still a starter and was able to put it together. Remember when we thought that Carlos and Singer and Daniel Lynch were going to lead this rotation for years to come? Hey, you know what? No, we're not doing that. We're having a good time after a 4-3 Royals victory. Let's go to the phone lines. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We start off with Don in Southeast Kansas. Don, you're hitting the leadoff this afternoon. Go ahead.
Hot diggity dog. Hey, down in my neck of the woods, there's some of us guys that want to dump Salvi, get something while we can, and some say, hell no, he's Royal through and through. Your opinion?
Yeah, I'd be in favor of trading him for the right return. I'm not trying to give Salvi away. I certainly wouldn't want it to be viewed by the fan base as a salary dump. So if you can get something that's going to help your team in 2025 and 2026, I'm all for it.
I think that's incorrect on your part, Vern. How many players, who are the most famous players you remember in Royals histories?
Career He's probably players. Number 2 behind George Brett. He's probably number 2.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
A Royal is a Royal is a Royal. They're going
to suck. Don, that's fair. That's fair. I can't argue with you. It's a very fair point. You're a Royals fan. You know what you believe.
Aren't you going to think more of the Royals organization and Salvi himself if they gut it out till he decides to retire? Or you're going to go on the cheap and try to score a little bit and get rid of a all-time rock star player?
Listen, I'm not happy about it. I'm not.
But you're in favor of it.
I'm in favor of it because of the landscape of Major League Baseball and the way it appears the Royals are going to attack and build their team through trade.
They're not
going
to get enough for Salvi to make them turn on a dime and be a contender in the drop of a hat. You know
I
that.
Agree. And I never said that, Don. Yeah.
Well, let's let him hang around and spend his whole career here.
Okay. All right. We got you down. Don is in favor of keeping Salvi around. Yeah, listen.
I want to turn him into the bench coach when he's done playing.
Okay. All right, well, best of luck doing that. We don't have to agree, Don. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. If anyone else wants to respond to what Don had to say, go for it. 913-586-7610. Salvi 0-for-4 today with a punch out. But Salvi's been on an absolute roll. I'm just mentioning what he did today. Also got a very favorable carom off the back wall. I mean, just an unbelievable moment. One of the more unbelievable moments of the season. And in a season where you're 17 games below 500 and there's been a lot of ugly, man, that was strange, but oh so pretty in the bottom of the seventh inning with the bases loaded and two outs and the Royals hanging on to a one-run lead. Aroldis Chapman had nothing. Now, by the way, that's a whole other discussion. Chapman pitching on back-to-back days, struggled again, walked three, should have given up the lead, but thankfully his errant pitch, a fastball that sails over Salvi's head and bounces off the back wall, bounced so hard off that back wall, it comes right to Salvi, and as Juan Soto was coming down the third base line thinking that the wild pitch would stay wild, Soto's meat at the dish, and Salvi lays the tag on him for the third and final out of that bumpy seventh inning, and the Royals again hang on 4-3. Listen, I don't want to get rid of Salvador Perez. I don't want the Royals to trade Salvador Perez. But they're not going anywhere this season. You know what? I don't know if it's worth it. We can have that conversation a little bit later on in the show, but I want to continue to discuss this 4-3 win and what else stood out to you. Let's go to Danny in Kansas City. Danny, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here or make any grand proclamations necessarily. I'd just like to point out the team's playing a little better over the last few weeks, one of the better offenses in baseball in the month of May, and we do not play a team that is currently above 500 again until June 9th. 17 straight games against teams at or below 500. So let's just get me to 5 or 6 games back by the end of June and see what happens. That's all I got.
All right, so that would be, going 12-5. That puts you at 26-36. Oh, you're still 10 under. I mean, if they went 17-0, they'd be at 500. So basically what you're asking for is 15-2? I don't see that happening. 15-2 puts you 29-33. Yeah. Hey, you never know. I didn't think the Royals had a chance today, and they win. So what the hell do I know? Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Now, to go back to Don's point pertaining to Salvador Perez. The fan inside of me, yeah, I want Salvi to follow the same path that George Brett did. I want Salvi to be the last, Salvi will be the last person to ever wear number 13. But I want that Royals jersey to be the last jersey he ever wears. Here's the issue with Salvador Perez. He's driven, sure, by winning and succeeding with Kansas City, but when times get tough, there's another voice in his head, and that voice is directing him back into the batting cage, back out behind the dish, back to the practice field, because he's driven by the Hall of Fame. And if Salvi wants to end up in Cooperstown, in my opinion, he needs to have at least another 3 or 4, including this year, 3 or 4 above average seasons. And then he'll likely need to stick around another 2, 3, 4 years and accumulate numbers to assure himself a spot in Cooperstown. So that's at least another 6, 7, 8 years, taking him to age 38, 39, 40. Now, are you willing to keep Salvador Perez in a Royals uniform for another 7 years, for another 6, 7, 8 years? Yes, okay. All right, well then, another question you need to ask yourself is what is your guiding light? What's your North Star? Is it win at all costs? Is it building a team that the community feels a connection to? And sadly, I do think those things are mutually exclusive. With the way that I believe this organization wants to run, which is a lot like Tampa and Cleveland, building through the draft, being more transactional, winning a majority of your trades. Look, Salvador Perez right now takes up 20% of your payroll, and you're going to pay him another $22 million next season. $20 million next year, $22 million in 2025, and then a $2 million buyout in 2026. I'm not saying that they will. But when times have been difficult this season, when the team has been struggling, and we look at this pitching staff, and you look ahead to 2024, you wonder who's pitching for this team. You know you got Lyles, you know you have Singer, you hope you have Daniel Lynch, and then you got a bunch of question marks. And if you can't pitch, you can't win. And if you can't win next year, why are you paying Salvador Perez $20 million? When you could possibly trade him for three or four players, two or three of them might end up coming up alongside the Gavin Crosses and Caden Wallaces and Frank Mazzucato and Ben Kudernas and the next wave of talent currently down in A-ball. So when this team is ready to win in 2025, 2026, 2027, you have more lottery tickets, more opportunities to find lightning in a bottle. It's a great debate. It's been happening all season, and that's what happens when you find yourself 17 games below 500. Listen, I talk to Royals fans every day out at the ballpark. Every home game out at Kauffman Stadium, and the two things I hear from you the most is, I love this stadium and I love Salvador Perez. I know a majority of those season ticket holders. You don't want another stadium and you don't want another captain. I get it. I get it. But as you've noticed, the place isn't that full, right? You got between 5 and 10,000 most nights at Kauffman Stadium. The only way that place is going to get full is by putting a winner on the field. I don't believe the Royals are going to spend to put a winner on the field. So you got to develop via the draft and via trades. What else does this team have to trade right now? If you don't want to trade Salvi, who do you want to trade? Brady Singer? Vinny Pasquantino? I ask you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Royals, take the series in San Diego and have a chance to win three in a row. Yeah, a winning streak here in 2023. They'll take their shot at that Friday on the south side of Chicago, and we'll get back to your thoughts right after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Darvish deals. A swing and a liner down the left field line. That's in for a hit. It's going to roll to the fence. Bobby rounds third. He scores easily. MJ Melendez with an opposite field RBI double, and the Royals take a 1-0 lead here in the fourth inning.
Man, how pretty was that opposite field RBI double. Two out RBI double from MJ Melendez. His first of two extra base hits. That put the Royals on the board. Royals take an early 1-0 lead there in the top of the fourth inning. Padres would tie it up as Cronenworth would take Mike Myers deep in the fifth. So the game's knotted up at one apiece, but in the sixth, Royals score three thanks to a two-run blast from Vinny Pasquantino and an opposite field RBI double from Michael Garcia. That puts the Royals ahead 4-1. Slowly, they would begin to give it back. And I mean give it back. Sixth inning, two runs come in to score, both of them gift-wrapped. Josh Taylor walks a batter, doesn't cover first base, and then balks in the second run. And then Bobby Witt Jr. and Michael Massey do not communicate behind the second base bag on what should have been the third and final out of that inning. Instead, it turns into the third Padres run. And I already mentioned the goofy play with the fastball bouncing off the back wall that goes right to Salvi, and they tag Soto out at the dish, or else this game's tied in the seventh. Instead, Royals remained ahead and would go on to win. Final score 4-3. MJ Melendez extends his career best on base streak to 16 games. MJ hitting .316 in that stretch with an OPS of .901. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Vicky in Shawnee. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I saw a lot of tenacity. I saw a lot of grit. I saw a lot of grind. And I was a nervous wreck, of course. But we won another series. So I think we did really great. And, Josh, I admire everything you say. And what other people say, just let it go away.
No,
because that's their thing. And you're doing a fabulous job on the
air. Well, that's very nice of you.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but we have you to thank for getting through it with us.
Hey, how about it? How about it, Vicky? Thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. Tenacity, what you say, the grit and the grind. I didn't see that. I mean, we can't do it every time they win. Every time they win, it's, oh, my God, the fight in this team. I mean, they're pros, guys. They're big leaguers. It's not a bunch of high schoolers out there. These are grown men. Few of them are millionaires. I mean, here's where I saw some grit. I saw grit from Mike Myers. You know, he had the bases loaded in the fourth inning. It was his own fault. Two walks, a single, and a wild pitch. But I guess he locked it in and then struck out the 8 and 9 hitters. You know, we could make that case with most of the pitchers today. They created a mess, or the defense behind them created a mess, and they kind of got out of it. You know, Chapman didn't get out of it. And Taylor Clark and Scott Barlow were really good. I don't know if they really faced much adversity. Taylor Clark, by the way, sixth straight scoreless appearance. In that stretch, he's tossed 7 1/3 innings, striking out 11, allowing just 8 base runners in 7 1/3. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. My game notes following this 4-3 loss, or excuse me, 4-3 win, see? Apologize. Oh, Royals won the series from the San Diego Padres. I think I just need to say that a few more times. The Royals went to San Diego and won 2 of 3. They dropped the opener and somehow hung on to win each of the last two games. Now, my game notes following this 4-3 victory are presented by Jay's Southland Tow Service. I mentioned Scott Barlow matching Wade Davis, ninth all-time in Royals franchise history with 49 saves. Well, that 1-2-3 ninth inning as he goes through Juan Soto, Nelson Cruz, and Ha Sung Kim in the ninth, that was Barlow's 10th consecutive scoreless appearance, over the course of which he's holding opponents to a batting average of 111. It spanned 10 2/3 innings, 15 strikeouts, and only 2 walks. After the game, he spoke with Joel Goldberg about matching his former teammate, the great Wade Davis.
It's really, really cool. I didn't even realize I was even close to anything like that. But, you know, being able to play with Wade and learn from him, I love that guy so much. So it's really cool to kind of have my name alongside of him right now. So it's really
very cool. 7 pitches is all Scott Barlow needed to finish off this Padres team and make it a happy flight to the Windy City. Man, you want to talk about the perfect place to enjoy an off day? Now, so long as it's not raining, there might not be a better summer city in the country than Chicago. Maybe not the south side of Chicago. Not around really the stadium. But you could have a real good time in Chicago in the middle of May. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. We go to Kathy in San Diego. Took the game in today. Kathy, what'd you think of the Royals 4-3 win?
Well, I'm happy for the Royals winning and, you know, of course upset about the Padres losing, but it really didn't surprise me because all season long, leading runners in scoring position on base, all season. Yeah. I mean, I think we're last in the majors out of every single team. I think we're like below 200 average.
Yeah,
on that,
They went 4 for 23 today with runners in scoring position and came into today hitting .195 in such situations.
Exactly. And with that guy I was talking about, you know, trading Salvi, one of our local sportscasters here in San Diego, his thing is don't fall in love with the players, fall in love with the team. because sometimes you got to trade the good players to get a team to win.
Yeah, that's tough, though. It's easy to say that, Kathy, but that's tough. You know that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I love Salvi, too, and I would always like to see him in a Royals uniform, unless he comes to San Diego. But, you know, and I was still upset about, you know, how Hosmer was treated here in San Diego. And, in fact, I wore my Hosmer jersey to the game today because it was like, you know, I don't care what you people say. I still love Hos. And, in fact, that's how I got to beat Rex Hedler, because I was sitting right below him, and he leaned over. I had my Royals hat on and my Hosmer jersey on, and he was, you know, leaned over to hi to me. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time at the game today, and hopefully your Padres turn it around now that the Royals don't have to see him anymore.
I hope so, Vern, because I'm waiting. It's been a long time that I've been a fan of them. I got my Royals World Series. Now I want my Padres World Series.
Yeah, you've waited long enough, that's for sure. Kathy, thank you very much for the phone call. That opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Let's go to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. I see some of you reacting to what Don said about Salvador Perez. And look, and Kathy alluded to it. I don't know if Don thought, you know, I'm classic sports radio guy and I'm ready for a fight and I want to debate. No, I understand Royals fans not wanting to trade Salvi. I'm not going to try and change your mind, because there's no guarantee trading Salvador Perez will equate to anything better than what we have right now. And what we have is 14-31. Shoot, if you're going to be in last place, at least give me my favorite player, right? I totally understand it. It's not very often I'm going to declaratively say I'm right, you know, pound my fist on the table. And certainly not when it comes to trading Salvador Perez. Right deal comes along, yeah, I'd pull the trigger, and I believe the Royals front office would as well. Text here from Joey in Grain Valley. Nope. No, this is from the 816. This says, Vern, in order for the Royals to grow, we need to win in all facets of baseball. Winning trades is a part of that. Winning the business side of baseball is a part of that. Salvi being traded is a possibility to help us win. Yeah, maybe. Again, no guarantees. So I can't imagine there's anyone out there that's going to denigrate a fan if they say, you know what, I'm not too keen on trading away Salvador Perez. Another text here from the 816. Vern, you're going to have to rip Salvi from my cold, dying hands. Insert crying emoji. Oh, it would be a rough day in Kansas City. It would be a somber day in Kansas City, especially since, and I see someone here says, Vern, what's the percentage of Salvi being traded? Very low right now. I can't imagine it happening in season. Which would make it more somber if it happens in the offseason, right? Some cold, damp December day and you get that news. But you would be able to watch Patrick Mahomes in a few days, so I think that would ease your worries. Royals win 4-3. They take the series from San Diego. They enjoy an off day tomorrow. They're enjoying a happy flight right now. We'll get back to enjoying your phone calls and head back inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
From the high set, the pitch, swing, and a high fly ball. Deep right field, Tatis is back, and that ball is long gone. Vinny Pasquantino, a two-run homer. And the Royals take a 3-1 lead here in the sixth inning.
Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Vinny Pasquantino blasting a hanger in from Yu Darvish. Vinny's eighth of the season. Royals go up 3-1. They would go on to win 4-3. With that two-run home run, Vinny, for the season, has 21 extra base hits, 21 walks, and just 20 strikeouts. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Some other highlights from those younger, unproven bats in this evaluation season of 2023. Bobby Witt Jr., reaches base twice today, scores a pair of runs. He's now hit safely in 11 of his last 15 games, posting an OPS of 788 in that span. And Michael Garcia had three hits today, his first three-hit game of the season, and now has back-to-back multi-hit games. A quick checkup on what's going on in Omaha. And listen, again, evaluation season, and the evaluation season's been difficult because Bubich is done for the season. You were hoping to evaluate him. You were hoping to evaluate Kyle Isbell. He's still hurt with a hamstring. You were hoping to evaluate Drew Waters. He's still rehabbing down in Omaha. Hoping to evaluate Daniel Lynch, who's rehabbing up in Omaha. So, yeah, I mean, right there, there's... what, 35%, 33% of the ball players you were hoping to evaluate this season? Well, Daniel Lynch, as we speak, is making the fourth starts, the fourth rehab starts. And not going great, not going great. Just not going great. How about we just... be honest about it. Daniel Lynch, who two starts ago went 73 pitches and recorded 10 outs. And then the last time out went 72 pitches, and that got him through five innings. But instead of using him today in San Diego or Friday in Chicago, they say, let's have a few more rehab starts. And, well, Lynch is now through two innings in Omaha. He's thrown 48 pitches, 32 for strikes. He's given up three runs on five hits. Hasn't walked a batter. Has punched out four. Now, obviously not watching the game. Not going to overreact all that much. It goes strikeout, single, double, single, wild pitch, strikeout, strikeout. That's his first inning. Drew Waters picked up a hit. That's good to see. His second hit of his rehab assignment he came into today, 1 for 22 with six strikeouts. So nice to see him get started. Actually, a pair of hits. He's 2 for 2, including an RBI double. So nice to see Drew Waters hitting the ball a little bit. Nicky Lopez not in the lineup as he rehabs from the appendectomy he underwent about 3 weeks ago. All right, we'll head back inside that Royals clubhouse coming up in just a moment. Don't forget, Jay Binkley's coming up in about 10 minutes with After Hours. More on the Royals, and of course, it's Bink. You know we're talking some Chiefs football. But let's go to the text line. The Jays Southland Tow Service text line getting a lot of reaction. Ryan in Pleasant Hill writes in, Vern, today's win could be a huge confidence boost for the young players. They went in and beat Yu Darvish when no one gave them a chance. It's fun to see them do that when, you know, no one believes in them. And yes, it could be just another stepping stone knowing that they can do that moving forward. Yeah, I hope so, Ryan. I like the positive outlook. Joey in Grain Valley's hoping it continues in Chicago. Yeah, we're all with you on that. From the 913, Vern, I just feel bad for Salvi. And as a lifelong Royals fan, if he wants to be happy and that's going to take him elsewhere to a winning culture, then I'm happy for him. Yeah, there's a lot of that on the text line right now pertaining to Salvador Perez. Though we love him so much, he deserves to win. And then that brings up another interesting debate. What's better for Salvador Perez's Hall of Fame campaign? Is it to be on one team for 15, 16, 17 years? Because that goes a long way. I think a lot of guys are hurt when they bounce around a lot. Like, I think if, no reason to get into it, but like Carlos Beltran. No, Carlos Beltran to me is a no-doubt Hall of Famer, and I know what happened with the Houston Astros, but I think he's just not identified with one team, kind of a vagabond. So what's better for Salvador Perez's Hall of Fame campaign? Is it to be that pillar of a franchise for a couple decades, or is it to lead multiple teams to the postseason? If Salvi wins another ring elsewhere, His case is already pretty strong. If he can become a postseason stud to go along with the gaudy numbers he puts up in the regular season, I think his case will be undeniable. Back to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. John from Lee Summit writes in, Vern, I think you should trade every piece you can and build the team just like the Tampa Bay Rays do. Easier said than done, but I do think that is the I don't want to say plan, but that's the goal, that's the hope, is that you can churn talent the way that Tampa does and trade them away before they crater and trade for them before they take off in their career. From the 620, Vern, if we lose more than 100 games, do you think we fire the manager? Or do they let him stay and try to build? Of course they let him stay. They just hired him. If they fire anyone, I don't believe anyone's losing their job. I think it'd be a pretty poor reflection of ownership if you fire a GM or someone in the front office after giving them 1 year. You fire a manager after giving them 1 year. Now, if we don't see improvement over the course of this season, if they're making the same silly mental mistakes, if they look unprepared, if they're still not communicating in August and September, okay. Then we can start laying a lot more at the feet of the coaching staff. But to me, this is just a lot of inexperience, a lot of pressing, a lot of youth. Coaching, I'm not willing to place blame at their feet just yet. I don't know how much talent they have. And I, from being around them, to me, they do pay attention to the little things. I don't think the miscommunication and the mental blunders and the defensive miscues are ignored. I think they're being addressed. Few more from the text line. From the 620, Vern, I would still like to see some insurance runs late, but nice to see the bullpen get out of their own jams. CCB is looking like HDH the past two nights. Keep it up. Okay. Well, I'm glad you put the caveat of the last two nights. And CCB is not a thing. Don't try to make that a thing. CCB, no. Chapman, Clark, Barlow. I mean, the first C will be see you later in 2 months, and the B might be bye-bye in the next few months as well, right? Chapman, Barlow could both be traded prior to the August 1st deadline. Sean and Waldo writes in, Vern, the offense is starting to blossom in May. Yeah, they've been one of the best offenses in the sport in the month of May. Raj in the Ozarks likens this game to a potluck dinner where you show up and the food is way better than you expected. That's pretty good, Raj. Pretty good. Yeah, had absolutely no faith in the Royals winning this one today. Hey, how about this? Carlos Hernandez, and I see on the text line right here, text line 913-586-7610. Vern, I know Carlos Hernandez wasn't stretched out to go long today, but I would love to see the Bull get another crack at starting this year, given the clown show that we're running out there when Singer or Greinke doesn't get the ball. First of all, thanks for listening. Yeah, the Bull. Remember that? God, those were the days. Man, I was so hopeful. Man, Daniel Lynch and Carlos Hernandez, just two behemoths with four-pitch mixes to go along with Singer and Bubich. Oh, really had something going back in 2021, didn't we? Yeah, there are no bad ideas. I just don't think that Carlos Hernandez has the heartbeat to be a starter. I think he's just too amped up. He's a little too excitable, in my opinion. I love the idea of him being a starter, but no, I don't see it happening. Carlos this season has 28 strikeouts in 22 innings pitched. 28 strikeouts and just 8 walks. Speaking of walks, the Royals pitching staff today walked 9. It's the fourth time in the last 16 games they've issued at least 8 walks. Not good. Can't continue. Hayden in Lenexa writes in, he's feeling good after this 4-3 Royals victory. You should, Hayden. From the 816, Vern, doesn't Salvi have 10-5 rights, meaning they can't trade him without his approval? Yeah. He's been a big leaguer for 10 years, and all of them are with the Royals, so yeah, he has 10-5 rights. Furthermore, I also believe, I know it's a new era of Royals baseball, but I still believe J.J. Piccolo's not going to blindside Salvi. Now, Salvi will be, in my opinion, involved to a certain extent if and when he's moved. From the 816, Vern, I actually hope he's traded to a contender. He deserves to be in the postseason again. And look, we would all love for that to be in Kansas City. It's just we can read the writing on the wall. We don't see the pitching. This year, next year, hopefully the pitching's arrived by 2025. Double J's excited, says, Vern, what a win. Hard to describe my mood after taking 2 of 3 from the Padres. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It is difficult to describe my mood. It's because I'm so surprised, yes, but also perplexed as to what exactly we're excited about. I'm excited that they won, sure. Yeah, no doubt. I'd much rather talk about a win than a loss. Still 17 games below 500, but it's got to start somewhere. I just don't know what happened today that you say, that's going to continue. That can carry into Chicago. It's certainly nothing from the pitching staff. The defense was anything but exceptional today. So there's really nothing to get excited about defensively. I knew Bobby was fast. Vinny's been undeniable as an offensive threat. Yeah, Michael Garcia, maybe that's what it is. Michael Garcia, back-to-back multi-hit games, his confidence going up. MJ Melendez, get this. Remember MJ and my concern early on in the season of why do they have so much on this kid's plate? He's 24. Quit asking him to hit at the top of the lineup and catch and play right field and learn left field. It's just too much. The last time MJ Melendez caught was April 30th. When that game ended, he was hitting 174 with an OPS of 582. Since the organization said, MJ, don't worry about catching anymore, just focus on hitting and the outfield. Since then, he's hitting 309 with an OPS of 880. Eric in Independence writes in, Vern, I'm soaking up the winning vibes for sure. Let's get it in Chicago. Derek in Rayville. Vern, do you think today will be the end of Aroldis Chapman pitching back-to-backs? He got real lucky today that he didn't give it up. Yeah, you're right about that. Chapman has allowed multiple runs or multiple walks 4 times this season. 3 of them have come on the tail end of a back-to-back. Today was the 4th time Chapman pitched on a back-to-back. Each of the last 3 have been subpar. Today, Chapman walks 3 and somehow doesn't give up a run. Listen, I asked Matt Cotrero about it after his last hiccup on a back-to-back, and Q said, well, it's a small sample size and it's not easy to string hits together against Aroldis Chapman. We still believe in him. We're still going to utilize him back-to-back days, and he was a man of his word today going to Chapman in the 7th inning. I don't want to see him again on a back-to-back, but if his manager believes in him, yeah, to answer your question, I do think that they'll do it again. I don't want him to. I just want them to protect that trade value because right now, unless we start talking Salvi, Vinny, or Singer, Chapman is probably your best trade asset. Maybe Scott Barlow. But Chapman today puts Nelson Cruz down with a 101.4 mile per hour fastball. Chapman strikes out a pair in that scoreless 7th inning. Royals win 4-3. Quick look at the text line. We got the rally mantis who's still trying to call Vinny Pasquantino Boom Boom. Nobody calls him Boom Boom. The guy's got like 14 nicknames, and Boom Boom's not one of them. Quit trying to make Boom Boom a thing, rally mantis. Hey, Zach Greinke, he's never had a nickname, has he? I don't think so. Zach Greinke's on the Hill Friday in the opener of a 3-game series against the White Sox. At Zach Greinke and Michael Kopech. That's quite the dichotomy between those two. Zach Greinke, Michael Kopech, a battle of right-handers. Friday night, 7:10. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Royals fans, stay right there. My buddy, my longtime friend, Jay Binkley's coming your way next with some after hours as he fills in for the Dirty Werewolf. Stay tuned. Much more coming your way after this. Grant Nicholson, thank you very much for your help. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. 7th strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
From the high set, the pitch, swing and a high fly ball. Deep right field, Tatis is back, and that ball is long gone. Vinny Pasquantino, a 2-run homer. And the Royals take a 3-1 lead here in the 6th inning.
Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Vinny Pasquantino blasting a hanger in from Yu Darvish. Vinny's 8th of the season. Royals go up 3-1. They would go on to win 4-3. With that 2-run home run, Vinny, for the season, has 21 extra base hits, 21 walks, and just 20 strikeouts. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Some other highlights from those younger, unproven bats in this evaluation season of 2023. Bobby Witt Jr. reaches base twice today, scores a pair of runs. He's now hit safely in 11 of his last 15 games, posting an OPS of 788 in that span. And Michael Garcia had 3 hits today, his first 3-hit game of the season, and now has back-to-back multi-hit games. A quick checkup on what's going on in Omaha. And listen, again, evaluation season, and the evaluation season's been difficult because Bubich is done for the season. You were hoping to evaluate him. You were hoping to evaluate Kyle Isbell. He's still hurt with a hamstring. You were hoping to evaluate Drew Waters. He's still rehabbing down in Omaha. Hoping to evaluate Daniel Lynch, who's rehabbing up in Omaha. So, yeah, I mean, right there, there's, what, 35%, 33% of the ball players you were hoping to evaluate this season? Well, Daniel Lynch, as we speak, is making the 4th starts, the 4th rehab starts. And not going great, not going great. Just not going great. How about we just be honest about it? Daniel Lynch, who 2 starts ago went 73 pitches and recorded 10 outs. And then the last time out went 72 pitches, and that got him through 5 innings. But instead of using him today in San Diego or Friday in Chicago, they say, let's have a few more rehab starts. And, well, Lynch is now through 2 innings in Omaha. He's thrown 48 pitches, 32 for strikes. He's given up 3 runs on 5 hits, hasn't walked a batter, has punched out 4. Now, obviously, not watching the game, not going to overreact all that much. It goes strikeout, single, double, single, wild pitch, strikeout, strikeout. That's his first inning. Drew Waters picked up a hit. That's good to see. His second hit of his rehab assignment he came into today, 1 for 22 with 6 strikeouts. So nice to see him get started. Actually, a pair of hits. He's 2 for 2, including an RBI double. So nice to see Drew Waters hitting the ball a little bit. Nicky Lopez not in the lineup as he rehabs from the appendectomy he underwent about 3 weeks ago. All right, we'll head back inside that Royals clubhouse coming up in just a moment. Don't forget, Jay Binkley's coming up in about 10 minutes with After Hours. More on the Royals, and of course, it's Bink. You know we're talking some Chiefs football. But let's go to the text line. The Jays Southland Tow Service text line getting a lot of reaction. Ryan in Pleasant Hill writes in, Vern, today's win could be a huge confidence boost for the young players. They went in and beat Yu Darvish when no one gave them a chance. It's fun to see them do that when, you know, no one believes in them. And yes, it could be just another stepping stone knowing that they can do that moving forward. Yeah, I hope so, Ryan. I like the positive outlook. Joey in Grain Valley's hoping it continues in Chicago. Yeah, we're all with you on that. From the 913, Vern, I just feel bad for Salvi. And as a lifelong Royals fan, if he wants to be happy and that's going to take him elsewhere to a winning culture, then I'm happy for him. Yeah, there's a lot of that on the text line right now pertaining to Salvador Perez. Though we love him so much, he deserves to win. And then that brings up another interesting debate. What's better for Salvador Perez's Hall of Fame campaign? Is it to be on one team for 15, 16, 17 years? Because that goes a long way. I think a lot of guys are hurt when they bounce around a lot. Like, I think if, no reason to get into it, but like Carlos Beltran. No, Carlos Beltran to me is a no-doubt Hall of Famer, and I know what happened with the Houston Astros, but I think he's just not identified with one team, kind of a vagabond. So what's better for Salvador Perez's Hall of Fame campaign? Is it to be that pillar of a franchise for a couple decades, or is it to lead multiple teams to the postseason? And if Salvi wins another ring elsewhere, his case is already pretty strong if he can become a postseason stud to go along with the gaudy numbers he puts up in the regular season. I think his case will be undeniable. Back to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. John from Lee Summit writes in, Vern, I think you should trade every piece you can and build the team just like the Tampa Bay Rays do. Easier said than done, but I do think that is the I don't want to say plan, but that's the goal, that's the hope, is that you can churn talent the way that Tampa does and trade them away before they crater and trade for them before they take off in their career. From the 620, Vern, if we lose more than 100 games, do you think we fire the manager? Or do they let him stay and try to build? Of course they let him stay. They just hired him. If they fire anyone, I don't believe anyone's losing their job. I think it'd be a pretty poor reflection of ownership if you fire a GM or someone in the front office after giving them 1 year. You fire a manager after giving them 1 year. Now, if we don't see improvement over the course of this season, if they're making the same silly mental mistakes, if they look unprepared, if they're still not communicating in August and September, okay. Then we can start laying a lot more at the feet of the coaching staff. But to me, this is just a lot of inexperience, a lot of pressing, a lot of youth. Coaching, I'm not willing to place blame at their feet just yet. I don't know how much talent they have. And I, from being around them, to me, they do pay attention to the little things. I don't think the miscommunication and the mental blunders and the defensive miscues are ignored. I think they're being addressed. Few more from the text line. From the 620, Vern, I would still like to see some insurance runs late, but nice to see the bullpen get out of their own jams. CCB is looking like HDH the past two nights. Keep it up. Okay. Well, I'm glad you put the caveat of the last two nights. And CCB is not a thing. Don't try to make that a thing. CCB, no. Chapman, Clark, Barlow, no. I mean, the first C will be see you later in 2 months. And the B might be bye-bye in the next few months as well, right? Chapman, Barlow could both be traded prior to the August 1st deadline. Sean and Waldo writes in, Vern, the offense is starting to blossom in May. Yeah, they've been one of the best offenses in the sport in the month of May. Raj in the Ozarks likens this game to a potluck dinner where you show up and the food is way better than you expected. That's pretty good, Raj. Pretty good. Yeah, had absolutely no faith in the Royals winning this one today. Hey, how about this? Carlos Hernandez, and I see on the text line right here, text line 913-586-7610. Vern, I know Carlos Hernandez wasn't stretched out to go long today, but I would love to see the Bull get another crack at starting this year given the clown show that we're running out there when Singer or Greinke doesn't get the ball. First of all, thanks for listening. Yeah, the Bull. Remember that? God, those were the days. Man, I was so hopeful. Man, Daniel Lynch and Carlos Hernandez, just two behemoths with four-pitch mixes to go along with Singer and Bubich. Oh, really had something going back in 2021, didn't we? Yeah, there are no bad ideas. I just don't think that Carlos Hernandez has the heartbeat to be a starter. I think he's just too amped up. He's a little too excitable, in my opinion. I loved the idea of him being a starter, but no, I don't see it happening. Carlos this season has 28 strikeouts in 22 innings pitched. 28 strikeouts and just 8 walks. Speaking of walks, the Royals pitching staff today walked 9. It's the fourth time in the last 16 games they've issued at least 8 walks. Not good. Can't continue. Hayden in Lenexa writes in, he's feeling good after this 4-3 Royals victory. You should, Hayden. From the 816, Vern, doesn't Salvi have 10-5 rights, meaning they can't trade him without his approval? Yeah. He's been a big leaguer for 10 years, and all of them are with the Royals. So, yeah, he has 10-5 rights. Furthermore, I also believe, I know it's a new era of Royals baseball, but I still believe J.J. Piccolo's not going to blindside Salvi. Now, Salvi will be, in my opinion, involved to a certain extent if and when he's moved. From the 816, Vern, I actually hope he's traded to a contender, he deserves to be in the postseason again. And look, we would all love for that to be in Kansas City. It's just we can read the writing on the wall. We don't see the pitching. This year, next year, hopefully the pitching's arrived by 2025. Double J's excited, says, Vern, what a win. Hard to describe my mood after taking 2 of 3 from the Padres. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It is difficult to describe my mood. It's because I'm so surprised, yes, but also perplexed as to what exactly we're excited about. I'm excited that they won, sure. Yeah, no doubt. I'd much rather talk about a win than a loss. Still 17 games below 500, but it's got to start somewhere. I just don't know what happened today that you say, that's going to continue. That can carry into Chicago. It's certainly nothing from the pitching staff. The defense was anything but exceptional today. So there's really nothing to get excited about defensively. I knew Bobby was fast. Vinny's been undeniable as an offensive threat. Yeah, Michael Garcia, maybe that's what it is. Michael Garcia, back-to-back, multi-hit games, his confidence going up. MJ Melendez, get this. Remember MJ and my concern early on in the season of why do they have so much on this kid's plate? He's 24. Quit asking him to hit at the top of the lineup and catch and play right field and learn left field. It's just too much. The last time MJ Melendez caught was April 30th. When that game ended, he was hitting 174 with an OPS of 582. Since the organization said, MJ, don't worry about catching anymore, just focus on hitting and the outfield. Since then, he's hitting 309 with an OPS of 880. Eric in Independence writes in, Vern, I'm soaking up the winning vibes for sure. Let's get it in Chicago. Derek in Rayville, Vern, do you think today will be the end of Aroldis Chapman pitching back-to-backs? He got real lucky today that he didn't give it up. Yeah, you're right about that. Chapman has allowed multiple runs or multiple walks four times this season. Three of them have come on the tail end of a back-to-back. Today was the fourth time Chapman pitched on a back-to-back. Each of the last three have been subpar. Today, Chapman walks three and somehow doesn't give up a run. Listen, I asked Matt Cotrero about it after his last hiccup on a back-to-back, and Q said, well, it's a small sample size and it's not easy to string hits together against Aroldis Chapman. We still believe in him. We're still going to utilize him back-to-back days, and he was a man of his word today going to Chapman in the seventh inning. I don't want to see him again on a back-to-back, but if his manager believes in him, yeah, to answer your question, I do think that they'll do it again. I don't want him to. I just want them to protect that trade value because right now, unless we start talking Salvi, Vinny, or Singer, Chapman is probably your best trade asset. Maybe Scott Barlow. But Chapman today puts Nelson Cruz down with a 101.4 mile per hour fastball. Chapman strikes out a pair in that scoreless seventh inning. Royals win 4-3. Quick look at the text line. We got the Rally Mantis who's still trying to call Vinny Pasquantino Boom Boom. Nobody calls him Boom Boom. The guy's got like 14 nicknames and Boom Boom's not one of them. Quit trying to make Boom Boom a thing, Rally Mantis. Hey, Zach Greinke, he's never had a nickname, has he? I don't think so. Zach Greinke's on the hill Friday in the opener of a three-game series against the White Sox. It's Zach Greinke and Michael Kopech. That's quite the dichotomy between those two. Zach Greinke, Michael Kopech, a battle of right-handers. Friday night, 7:10. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Royals fans, stay right there. My buddy, my longtime friend, Jay Binkley, is coming your way next with some after hours as he fills in for the Dirty Werewolf. Stay tuned. Much more coming your way after this. Grant Nicholson, thank you very much for your help. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.